Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor.
Afternoon, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Pastor Muzenge. Yourself?
Fine.
We are good, thank you, and thank you so much for joining us. Well, we are continuing to talk about long-suffering vis-a-vis instant gratification. Now, while it is true, technically speaking, that everything happens for a reason, the truer fact is that not all reasons are justifiable. There was a reason behind the Holocaust, apartheid, slavery, etc. There is a reason why people murder people and why people die unexpectedly. The reason may not have anything to do with how much we suffer. Now, how does the idea of long-suffering fit into this reality? We're going to be talking to Pastor Muzenge about that. Now, Pastor, is all suffering from God and somehow beneficial in any way? Are we not romanticizing evil when we view it through such a lens?
Thank you very much. What we do need to understand is the fact that we are in a war, which some have dubbed the Great Controversy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the war that is there between Jesus and the devil, and the contention point is the character of God. The devil is trying to paint black God, saying he is unjust, he is a dictator, he is unruly, and other things like that. So the fact that there is suffering in the world, it's not coming from God, but it's coming from the context of the Great Controversy. And it's actually the devil who is the author of suffering. It's not God who started suffering or who invented suffering. Suffering and pain comes because we are in a sinful world. That's why there is death. That's why there is sickness. That's why there is hunger. That's why there are wars. It's coming in the context of the Great Controversy. God has taken what the devil thinks is his best weapon against God in their battle, and he has turned it around to say, I can even use your best weapon to my advantage. And suffering can actually become a tool of redemption.
Now, what are some common misconceptions and misunderstandings about long-suffering?
Basically, when we are talking about long-suffering, we are looking at the virtue of patience. We are looking at the virtue of resilience. We are also looking at maybe being undisturbed because you are in a certain particular tough situation. You are going through a difficulty. So when we are talking about long suffering, we are saying someone is patient, and it's a virtue that is even required of the remnant people of God. Because if you read in the book of Revelation, the characteristics of the remnant is that they keep the law of God. They also have the testimony of Jesus. But the scripture says, here is the patience of the saints, meaning to say they are going to go through some crucibles. They are going to be persecuted. But the persecution is not coming from God. It's coming from the devil, the enemy of God. But God has said, even though you may take my children through the most difficult situation, they are resilient. They still hold on to me. They love me even more than their own lives.
Now, how is long suffering different from passive acceptance?
You know, there are people who are maybe indolent, okay, who don't want to work. The Bible says 6 days you shall labor. There is no sweat without sweat.
Yeah.
So other people, like what was happening in the church at Thessalonica, they were saying, they were members who were saying, Jesus is about to come. We no more need to go to work. Let's just wait for the coming. And they were now busy bodies. And Paul writes to them and he says, he who does not work must not eat. So if you get to a point where you are suffering, maybe you are not having money enough to fend for yourself because you are indolent, you are not working. It's self-inflicted pain. We have to distinguish long suffering from that kind of a behavior to say, Jesus is about to come. Why should I go to school? Why should I do this or that? It's another extreme. Extremism comes with its own problems. You can't go to maybe someone to disturb them, and when they are now maybe beating you up, then you say, I am being persecuted, I am suffering long, yet you are the one who started battle with someone who was quiet, and whatever, you went to attack them, and when they are attacking you, maybe you then say, I am suffering, and my suffering is because of the fact that I am a Christian. It doesn't work like that.
Now, how do we then abuse being avoid being abused in the name of long suffering?
Well, you will discover that Jesus said, and it's a misquoted scripture, if someone hits you on the what?
On the cheek.
On the cheek, give them the other. So other people say that maybe you have to accept abuse and even request for more. Jesus is not talking about that, because if you look at the context of that scripture, in the Semitic world, the Jewish world at that time, that backhanded slap was not intended to injure, but to humiliate. So when you say, he hit me on the other cheek, you are actually saying your humiliation does not humiliate me. You are not achieving your goal. Hit me on the other cheek. So it's actually passive resistance. And the other guy, as you look at that passage, is in a courtroom, and the one who is accusing them is about to has taken their outer garment, and Jesus says, give them even your inner what? Garment.
Yeah.
In the Jewish world, shame fell more on the one causing nakedness than on the one who was naked. You can look at that maybe in the book of Genesis, the story of Noah, when he drank and he got so drunk and he removed his clothes. Shame actually came on the ones who were viewing the nakedness and laughing at it than on the naked party. When he says, give them even your inner garment, it's actually passive resistance. The other instance is that one of a soldier who had forced a civilian who were colonized at that time, the Jewish people, to say, carry my luggage for a mile. And then the one who is carrying the luggage, when they get to the mile marker, they say, no, I want to take you even to the second mile. The law, the Roman law then stipulated that if you are a soldier, the colonizers were subjected. They were supposed to just help you carry your luggage for 1 mile. So if you were to go beyond a mile, it was now unlawful. So just imagine the soldier and the subjugated person carrying the load saying, no, I want to go for another mile. And the Roman soldier is fearing now to say the law stipulates that it's supposed to be just a mile. So it's also passive resistance. If you look at Jesus Christ himself, when he was now being crucified, he was taken to court and they were flogging him. And then he said, no, you cannot beat me up. Even Paul used his Roman citizenship to say, this you cannot subject me to. You cannot do this to me. You cannot do that to me. So people misquote those portions of scripture. Scripture does not call for us to maybe accept any abuse, like maybe if you are a wife and your husband is battering you, beating you left, right, and center, and then you say, oh, scripture say if you are beaten on one cheek, give the other cheek. Mm. It's not like that.
Yeah, true. Now, would you think that long-suffering is a punish for sin? Will we still be long-suffering when we actually go to heaven?
In heaven, there is no long-suffering because in heaven, there are no crucibles.
So it's a punishment
Everything
for sin.
Everything will be perfect. Mm. God is going to restore us to where he wanted us to be. The great controversy will be over.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is going to be good. There will be no more tears, no more crying, no more death, no more pain. So it's not going to happen in heaven. This is only happening because we are in a war. And this war was started by the devil. He is the one who paid our suffering, but he wants to accuse God as the one who is maybe the one responsible for suffering. Yet suffering and the virtue of long suffering comes because of sin, and God is not the author of sin.
So would you then say it's a punishment for sin?
It's a consequence of sin.
It's a consequence,
not
okay.
A punishment for sin. Mm. You know, Jesus died for the penalty of sin, not the consequences of sin. So you may have a healed wound, but yet still the ugly scar remains. You understand what I'm saying? So we are in a war. So if you kind of like maybe commit fornication, if you are a lady and then you fall pregnant, God can forgive you of the sin of fornication. But if you, he will not terminate the pregnancy. Those are now consequences of it, even though the sin is what? It's forgiven. Mm-hmm. It's like death. It's like pain. It's like sickness. Mm-hmm. Those are consequences of sin. Christ died for the penalty of sin. That's why the Bible says we are waiting for the redemption of our bodies.
Yeah.
So at the second coming, this body, which is corruptible, is going to put on incorruption. And at that point in time, there will be no more suffering, and there will be no need for the virtue of long suffering.
Now, is there any expiry date, therefore, on long suffering? How long are we expected to endure? Is it about 10 years? 20? How long exactly is long suffering meant to last?
In its totality, it's going to end at the second coming of Christ. When we go to heaven, there will be no more long suffering. There will be no more suffering. But in the current situation we are in, I like the letters in the book of Revelation, the seven churches. There is also a church there called the Church of Smyrna.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible says there, The devil is going, you are going to suffer. Actually, he says to the church, you are going to suffer persecution for 10 days. So there is a beginning period and an ending period to any suffering. So one ought to know that in this world, there is nothing that is permanent. Like Ecclesiastes says, everything has a season. So seasons are not permanent, but they are temporary. So if you are going through winter and it's cold in your life, know that one day my summer is going to come. If you are down today, it doesn't mean to say you are going to be down tomorrow. That's why there is need for you to hold on. That's where the virtue of long suffering comes. You are saying, yes, we are in winter. It's cold, but this season is going to come to an end. So you endure the winter. You suffer long in the winter, knowing that your summer is going to come. So there is no suffering that is going to be permanent. It is a beginning time, and it has got an ending time. To the Church of Smyrna, Jesus says, your period of suffering is going to be 10 days. It means to say it was not going to be less, it was not going to be more. So in whatever you are going through, you need to understand that it's going to come to an end. There is a phrase in the Bible that I like, which says, and it came to pass, and it came to pass, it came to pass. So whatever you are going through is going to come to pass.
Yeah, I like that end point. Whatever that you're going through is going to pass. Pastor, Master, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And of course, hoping that we will continue tomorrow at the same time and same place.
Thank you very much. Have a good afternoon. Blessings to you all. If you are going through some challenging time, if you are going through some trying time, know that it's not permanent. There are other people who maybe are contemplating suicide because of what they are going through. What I can only say to them is that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem. Our God will not allow you to continue suffering, because in his plans, he has a good future for you. He wants to give you a future that is full of hope, pregnant with meaning. He doesn't want you to fail. So he is not happy when you are going through the crucible, but he is using what the devil is using to attack you, to turn it as a tool of salvation.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mudzenge. See you tomorrow.
Blessings.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.